Welcome to the FI Podcast, the place where we speak about all things accounting. I'm Dave Malthouse.
And I'm Ben Borman. From balancing the books to finding a balance in your life, we've got it all covered. So whether you're here for accounting insights, career advice, or looking after yourself while preparing for your exams, you're in the right place.
We hope you enjoy this episode, and if you do, please leave us a rating and review.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the First Intuition Student Podcast. My name is Ben Borman, and I'm joined again this evening by my good friend and colleague, David Malthouse. Good evening, Dave.
Hi there, Ben. How has your week been?
The week's been really, really good. In one sense, it's flown by. It seems like it was only yesterday we were recording the podcast last week. But actually, quite a bit has happened. I've been in the classroom a fair amount. So I've actually been teaching audit, which, as regular listeners will know, is my favourite subject to teach. And I've just finished two classes. So it's really quite nice to finish a class. The students have now hopefully gone away, all fired up, motivated, which is something we're going to be talking about as tonight's topic. And hopefully now working their way through their own revision, mock exams, question practice, with a view to getting these exams sat in the next couple of weeks. So it's been good. It's been busy. How's your week been?
Busy as well. I had a really good meeting on Monday, Ben, with you and with some of our marketing team to talk about podcast plans. So we've got some really exciting episodes planned over the next few weeks, which I'm really looking forward to doing. The one in my house that my daughter is most looking forward to is an episode where we're going to look at Taylor Swift, and we're going to look at the finances surrounding Taylor Swift, and also some of the accounting concepts that they throw up, particularly around things like non-current assets, or I say non-current assets, intangible assets. Another thing that I played with, Ben, I don't know if you've seen the results of this, but I was recommended an app which uses artificial intelligence, and it's an app that will, if you submit to it a series of photos of yourself, so you take a load of selfies of yourself, you upload them onto their servers, they will then take those photos, and I uploaded 15 photos, and it will then create a perfect profile picture for you to use in your social media. So I did that, and they sent me back something which when I look at the pictures, I can see bits of me. So I can see my nose, my lips, my chin, my eyes. I can see roughly the size of my face, but it's made me at least 10 to 15 years younger than I actually am. I think I'm probably about 2 stone lighter in the photos than I am in real life. And I have a lot more hair, and it has a lot more natural color in it than it currently does. So it's quite scary. If you want to see it, Ben, if you look on my LinkedIn profile, I haven't changed my profile picture because I feel that would be a lie, because I look nothing like this strange person. But I did post up there the results of the app. And it just made me think that this technology is at everyone's fingertips right now. So are we going to live in a world where everyone's kind of like pictures, and I can see this happening to video soon as well, where you record something and you just touch up your video to make yourself look perfect, where our screen selves look substantially different to our real selves? I think previously that's been the domain of celebrities, but nowadays everyone can make themselves look, in my case, a lot younger, a lot thinner, and a lot better looking. So it does worry me a little bit that we're all going to be walking around going, where are all the beautiful people that I see online? Because everyone looks a bit different out here.
I think there are so many aspects behind that, aren't they? The credibility of that being a picture, mm-hmm. whether actually we will be tagging pictures as verified original, no modifications. Mm. The mental health implications, you've got younger children like I have, and the body image, the credentials of that, as much as it might be nice for you to appear 10 years younger in your profile picture, actually, is that a good message to be giving out? And I'm quite pleased you said I didn't use it as my profile picture, because I personally prefer natural. I think natural Dave is the Dave.
You've got natural film star good looks, Ben, isn't
it? I'm not sure about that. Yeah, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? That whole use of AI and the modification, the trust, the verifiability of it. Have you watched catfish programs on telly where you see all these stories about people that meet online and then they actually go to meet the real person? And it is nothing like that. So I think a lot of health warnings come. The technology is clearly there. And so it's going to be used, isn't it, if it exists? But I think our job is to really just make people aware of the potential limitations of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It immediately made me think of my kids and thinking about if they're comparing themselves to, even if you're comparing yourself to a picture of yourself that has been enhanced, and then you look in the mirror and think, oh, actually, I don't look the way that I should look because this app, this program, you know, this interface has told me this is the way I could look or I should look.
But I suppose it's all gearing up to some future where actually we won't meet people face to face. Maybe my image will meet your image and we will go round with a series of AI generated images actually meeting up. Who knows, Dave? But I like you, mate. So stick to me.
Thanks, Ben.
So the theme for this evening, we are talking about motivation. We're recording this on the 1st of May. Happy May Day, everybody that's with us live this evening. It is the 1st of May. And I wanted to start, Dave, by asking you, particularly this time of year, why do you think a lot of our students have a bit of a blip with their motivation towards studying?
I think if you look outside, out your window right now, you've got the answer. When the weather gets nicer, there suddenly are a whole new things that start calling you. So, you know, friends suddenly want to meet up for drinks. You know, it's nice to sit outside, to go in the garden. It's nice to go on a bike ride. It's nice to do, you know, go outside and play cricket or watch cricket. So many nice things to do. You know, people's social lives really open up as we get into the nicer weather. So I think it's difficult from that point of view. There are lots of other reasons why we can lose motivation. So you said you had a group of students that came out of your classroom today and you said that you hope that they're all really motivated. Some of those students may go home tonight, may attempt a question, and it may not go as well as they hoped. They may get 30% in that question and they may feel, what's the point? I only got 30%. That's not even close enough to pass. You know, studying is hard. You know, doing studying day after day after day can become a bit of a grind. And it's very, very easy to say, I'll have a day off. And then suddenly one day turns into a week turns into a month turns into 6 months, 6 months turns into a year. And before you know it, you've forgotten about your studies altogether. So there are multiple reasons why you might lose motivation. But I do think that as we get into these warmer kind of spring, summer months, that's really when the call of the outside and the call of your social life can sometimes pull you away from your studies.
I know every student is different, but I think there is a clear noticeable seasonal variation, we would call this, Dave, wouldn't we, if we were analysing the data? I think if you look at a stereotypical calendar year, we are usually inundated with students fired up in January and February. They've set New Year's resolutions. It's a brand new year. They've got lots of energy to study. We also see it come back towards the end of the calendar year. I know our exam room in Cambridge gets incredibly busy and booked out in December because people are realizing, oh, I need to get another exam done before the end of the year. My feeling is at the moment, we're currently in the dangerous position that students might have done one exam already this year. December still feels like a long time off, so they can kid themselves that actually I can do another two exams by September, October, November, December. And combine that with the attractions of the outdoors, the summer, the social life, holiday season, either preparing for a holiday, going on holiday. All of that means this is a time of the year that a lot of students actually drop off. And part of me saying, I'm not necessarily saying that's 100% a bad thing. We need a break. We need holidays. We need to socialize. But also, I see a lot of students that potentially could lose all of the months of May, June, July, August, and potentially September. That's 5 months of a 12-month year. Surely, we could get at least one exam done over those 5 months, if nothing else.
I agree. And I think sometimes we will when we speak to students, students will tell us a reason why they've not studied. And at this time of year, at least one of your class, Ben, is going to tell you they didn't do a mock exam or they didn't do any study because their sister got married. Okay, I will guarantee you someone's sister is getting married at some point over the next 2 months, and someone will blame that for them for a lack of study. Now, I agree. I mean, weddings are wonderful. I am a massive fan of weddings. I love going to a wedding. If anyone out there wants me to attend their wedding as a guest, I am more than happy to go because I just love going to a wedding. I love the occasion. However, when you say, I couldn't do any study because my sister got married, she only got married for a day. You know, there was only a single day that she was actually getting married. That didn't wipe out the 7 days before and the 7 days after, which is normally what people are saying they haven't been able to study, haven't been able to do anything for the last 2 weeks because my sister got married. Well, I'm sure you could have found time, you know, if you had the motivation, if you had the drive to do it, if you had the planning to do it.
And these things don't usually come as a surprise, do they? Now, I've got every sympathy. I have taught loads of students that unforeseen circumstances come out of nowhere and hit them straight between the eyes. And that is much harder to deal with and also impossible to plan for because by definition, they weren't scheduled. But holidays don't happen by accident. Weddings take a lot of planning. I would imagine the student whose sister is getting married this summer, they've probably been planning that for at least 12 months. So I'm not saying don't enjoy the wedding and don't take some time away from study, but it is planable, it is schedulable, and you can hopefully work around it. So a lot of that is actually an acknowledgement of a student being slightly disorganized, if I'm honest, and using that as the cover story to actually say, I haven't really been able to plan my time effectively around the holiday or the wedding. And I appreciate you're saying it's a day. There's probably been dress fittings. There's probably been a hen do. There's probably been kind of family meetings to talk about it. And all of that stuff, yes, agreed. It would be pretty poor form if you took your study notes to a dress fitting. Although I might say, actually, if you're going to be sitting around, it might find you half an hour to do some study. But it's actually being able to study alongside those life events, isn't it?
Absolutely, Ben. And I would say if you are the one getting married, I probably would take a break from study over that sitting. You know, that's probably, you know, an occasion where you would take a break because I know it is all encompassing for the people that are actually getting married. So, you know, there are some circumstances where, you know, your studies have to take a pause because a massive life event's taking place that will take a huge amount of your time. But most of the time, I think you probably can fit in some study.
We've just had a lovely quote posted in the chat box. We're recording again this evening with some students live with us on Zoom. I'm not going to name the student, but I will give the quote. This apparently is an Abraham Lincoln quote, so a former president of the USA. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. And that's a really inspirational quote for motivation, thinking actually, what do you want to achieve from your study? And that will hopefully put things in an element of perspective. Dave, I know that's something you were going to talk about a bit in a moment anyway. But Dave, you've been kind of thinking, right, what would be some ground rules to motivating a student to study? Where should we start with it, Dave? What's your numero uno, number one point?
I guess there's various different things depending on who you are and what position you're in right now. With all the things that go on in busy lives, and I appreciate everyone has got a busy life now. You know, we've got family things, we've got social things, we've got work commitments. Fitting study in is something that people struggle to do. And I think a lot of that is not down to being lazy. I think a lot of that is through not having an effective study plan in place. And that study plan is the thing that can really help to keep you on track. And I've talked before about how I plan things and how I would recommend that you plan things. And if you've got your diary out, as you know, our colleague Gareth, who uses a paper diary, or some of my colleagues will use a spreadsheet, I use my Outlook diary to block time out for different things. So if you've got a blank diary in front of you for the next 3 months, the way that I would recommend that you plan is by, first of all, blocking time out in your diary for all the things you have to do. And the things you have to do are, you have to go to work. Don't go to work, you're not going to get paid. Probably would be a problem if you didn't go to work. If you want to go as far as doing it, you can do. You could say, I have to sleep, and put in your 8 hours sleep. You have to commute to work. So you could put that in there, time spent traveling to work. You could put that in there. I've now taken to doing that in my diary. I've taken to putting in time to actually travel to and from places so I can realistically look at the time that I have available. So first of all the things you have to do. Make sure you put time to eat. You know, if that's something you have to do, so make sure you put that time in there. I'm going to have lunch. I'm going to have an evening meal. I'm going to have breakfast. Put it all in there. There are things you have to do. Then the next thing that you do are the things that you love to do. Okay, so the things that you love to do could be, you love playing cricket, you love playing football. Okay, you love your family and you want to be at your sister's wedding. You want to go to the hen do, you want to go to the dress fitting. Okay, you want to go on that weekend break with your friends. Put all of that into your planner. They're things that you love to do. If you don't put the things you love to do into your plan, you will never ever stick to your plan, because life is not worth living if you don't do the things that you love doing. So do the things you have to do, the things you love to do. And I appreciate for some people, the things you have to do, for you and I, Ben, it will be, I need to be a taxi for my son to take him to cricket. I need to take my daughter to drama. I need to take my daughter to netball. I need to take my other son to hockey fixtures. So all of those things are things that I have to do. You know, so all of those things go into my diary. So for some people, there'll be loads of commitments. For some people, there'll be fewer commitments. Once you've done that and you've done the things that you love, then you put your study in. Make it realistic. Okay, so if you spot a 6 hour block of time on a Sunday where you don't have things you need to do or things you love to do, I don't think many people can sit down for 6 hours straight and study. So make it realistic. Plan for a block of study that you can do. Okay, and then the rest of the time that you have left over, that's your time to fill however you see fit. Okay, that's your time. If you want to sit down and watch Netflix, you can do. That's the time if you want to, you know, pop outside for a little walk, you can do. Okay, that's the time if you want to rearrange the cupboards in your kitchen, which is a task I had to do this weekend. That's the time you can fit that into your study plan, or into your time plan as well. So that's what I'd recommend that we do. Okay, is plan for your time. Having a realistic study plan that you can stick to, it really helps to keep you motivated, because you can see the things that you love and you know where to do the things that you have to do for study.
And I think that requires honesty. Mm-hmm. It requires actually sitting down and doing it. I think a lot of people pay lip service to it. And I can see a lot of people maybe dashing off after listening to this and thinking, right, I'm going to send myself an appointment for every Thursday from 6 till 10 to do a study session. Well, great. But actually, have you really planned that out? Have you thought about the other commitments? Have you thought about the other stuff going on? And that's not a quick process, Dave, is it? That probably takes you a good couple of hours to sit down and do that properly. But I promise you, it would be a brilliant investment of your time, because if it means you've then got a study schedule for the next 6, 8, 12 weeks that you are going to stick to, that you have got recorded, that is visible. And that brings me to my next point, making sure that you actually record it and write it down. I think too many people set themselves a mental note of, that's what I'm going to do. But that's not the same psychologically as actually committing it to a paper diary, a wall planner, an Outlook calendar, something that is much more visible, trackable, and traceable. So we've done previous episodes on this. You can go back and listen to previous podcasts where we've done a bit more of a deep dive into scheduling a study planner, writing a study planner, and sticking to a study planner. But let's keep moving on our motivation theme. So let's imagine we have now been through, we've analyzed our next 12 weeks We've put in all of the stuff we need to do, we love to do, and we've now allocated a realistic amount of time for study. What's the next thing to keep us motivated, Dave?
Linked to what you just said about making sure you actually commit it to paper and you've got a copy of it somewhere, have accountability. So be accountable for delivering that plan. So that accountability can be sharing that plan with someone else. It could be someone in your family. It could be a friend. It could be a colleague. It could be your tutor. It could be anyone that you know is going to hold you to it and is going to ask you the question, have you done that study yet? So if you're living at home with your parents, then, you know, give it to your mum. Your mum says on a Thursday, you've got down here that you're going to do an hour's study. Have you done that study yet? Again, actually holds you to it. And I think that level of accountability, even if they're not going to say every day, have you done the study yet? Have you done the study yet? You know that you've shared that plan with them, and you know that might look a little bit silly if in 2 months' time you said, oh, I haven't done any of the work that I said I was going to. Well, why didn't you? You planned for it. So I think by sharing it with someone else and having that accountability, you're more likely to work towards it. It's much easier to start telling little lies to yourself that, oh, I'm not going to do the study today. I'm going to do twice as much tomorrow. Oh, I'm a bit tired now, so maybe I'll do the study the day after. Well, Saturday was always going to be a break day for me, so I'll do it on Sunday. Sunday, I really need a lie-in. And before you know it, 1 week's gone by and you haven't done any of that study. But by having that accountability, you're less likely to kind of break the habits by lying to yourself or telling yourself stories.
I love the thought of the visibility. I can imagine a wall planner going up in the kitchen that other people you live with can see. And nothing nicer than ticking stuff off, is it? You can tick it off. You've got that visible record. Think about when organizations are fundraising and you'll quite often see their target and then you'll see their progress towards that target. That's a great motivational factor. We're not there yet, but look at what we've done. And if somebody else is seeing that, that adds to the accountability, adds to the motivation. Dave, you talked about using family. We've had somebody in the chat box say they wish they could pay somebody to give them a kick if they needed that boost in motivation. Dave, do we think this is something that AI could potentially help with?
I know that there are study-based apps out there that can help you with your focus during study periods. So I'm aware of an app that exists where you can set a timer and you can't access your phone for the length of that timer. So you say, I'm going to study for 40 minutes, set the timer. Your phone is pretty much dead unless an emergency phone call comes through. So then you have to study until your phone springs back into life. I think that just acknowledges that your phone can be a huge distraction, and it can also be a big motivator that, oh, I want to get back to see what's going on in the world. Well, I can't do it for 40 minutes. I've got to do my study for the next 40 minutes. I'm sure that there are other very, very clever applications out there that can help you with that kind of accountability.
Somebody's just mentioned one. You've got to be careful. I'm not plugging this, but a flow app. I've just quickly Googled it. It's actually, Dave, using the Pomodoro method or the Pomodoro technique of kind of time management. Looks really good. Anything that works for you is great. I know I was dabbling with some revision apps for my daughters to use, and one of them you actually had to first off plug in the date of the exam, and it would then prompt you on your phone. You do realize it's now only so many days before the exam. What have you done this week to keep going? And having those pop-up reminders, a bit like a person at home giving you a reminder, hold on a minute, what have you done this week? Just those little pop-ups. Oh, we've not seen you online for a few days. What's been happening? That sort of mentality. I know it's something, speaking to our distance learning tutors, that they use a lot. I know a number of you will know my colleague and our good friend, Nick Craggs. They have got some tracking software that they use for our FI Learn platform. And the distance learning tutors are now monitoring if a student hasn't engaged with their FI Learn for a marker of days, they will send them a reminder or just a check-in email to say, how are things going? Where are we at? Now, you could actually program an app in your phone to do that for you. So moving on, We've now shared our plan with somebody else, or we've got an AI app that's going to give us a bit of a kick if we need it. What would be your next thing to keep us motivated, Dave?
So in terms of staying on that kind of that study plan, study theme, make sure your study sessions are impactful. So when you're actually carrying out study, 30 minutes of really good quality study is far, far better than five times as much time of procrastination, half-baked study, not really doing the right things. I would try and make your study around being task-focused rather than being time-focused. So instead of saying, I'm going to do 3 hours of revision or I'm going to do 30 minutes of revision, say, I'm going to complete two questions. I'm going to do one set of checkpoint tests. I'm going to review 3 pages of my notes, and then I'm going to build a mind map across those 3 pages of my notes. And I actually prefer it to be little and often. I prefer it to be 30 minutes a day rather than 3 hours on a Sunday and nothing for the rest of the time. Something that I try and do with my children, and it's not that successful because I'm their dad and they don't want to listen to me, but if they write a study plan, I want them to come down, do 30 minutes of study, and then kind of say, oh, I'm done. Brilliant. I can go and do whatever I want now. And try and show that study doesn't have to be a massive slog taking hours and hours and hours. Little bits of work very, very often build up to massive, massive changes over time. So make your study impactful, and don't try and kill yourself all in one go. Little bits of study are really, really impactful. The only other thing that I would kind of put in there in terms of the study that you're doing. So yes, make it really, really impactful. Be careful what you're measuring against. It's very, very easy to lose motivation because you think you're not doing very well. And I mentioned it already, the students in your class coming out that get 30% in the practice question that lose motivation because what's the point? I'm not even close. The reality is I don't expect you to be close the first time you do a practice question. I expect you to be a long way away. But what I do expect is if you do that 30 minutes worth of revision, you know, on a regular basis over time, and you add one mark at a time to that 30%, so you're getting 30 to 31 to 32 to 33. Well, you don't need to be a maths graduate to work out. That's 20 increments of one to get you to from 30 to 50%, which is enough to pass an ACCA exam. Yeah, so that means 20 study sessions of just 1% better every time gets you to a pass mark. So you can do it, but it's a case of being consistent with the work that you're doing.
I think this is where I look sometimes outside of the world of accountancy study and think, what do we see in other parts of life that we could nick some of those good ideas from? And what you're talking about there is what I've been doing on Strava to try and get me out and motivated to running. Last night, for example, I found myself with 30 minutes waiting for the bus to come back from my daughter's school cricket match. And so I was in the car park and I'd had the foresight to put my running kit on. And do you know what? I could have easily said, nah, it's only 30 minutes. I'll just sit in the car, listen to the football on the radio, eat a Kit Kat. And I didn't. I actually thought, no, do you know what, Ben? You can use this 30 minutes and you can go and do something constructive. So I just went and did a 30-minute run. I literally got back to the school car park as the bus came in. Brilliant. I felt amazing after that, thinking, do you know what? I've just done 30 minutes that otherwise I would have written off. And it's much better if I can find 30 minutes of exercise 3 times a week than trying to find a full hour and a half to do a gym session, which I would absolutely hate and really struggle to find an hour and a half that I could solidly exercise. And probably I wouldn't do solid exercise for an hour and a half, would I? I would be at the water machine. I would be wandering around, where the 30 minutes I ran last night was brilliant. I've been recording it on an app, which is fantastic for showing me little and often is actually building up to a big thing. And I've not been trying to break the world record for the 5K as I've been doing it, but I've been building up gradual results over the last probably now 12 weeks. And I'm starting to see my times getting slightly better, or I can run slightly further in the time. All of that is motivating me in small ways. And last night I was over the moon when I looked at my Strava app on my phone that I'd switched on when I went for the run, and it came up with a little gold medal saying it was my personal record. I'd run the fastest 5K that I've ever run, according to Strava last night, which was brilliant. And so all of those things related back to study. Are you actually putting off half an hour and thinking, oh, it's only half an hour, I'll switch on the telly, instead of doing a task from your task bank? Are you monitoring your progress? As Dave said, don't set the ambition that I'm going to pass my mock within a week. I've got to build up. And yeah, the first task I do, I might only get 30 of the marks available out of 100. The next one I do, I can work to get 40. The next one, 50. The next one, 60. The pass mark for the exam was 70. So in another 5 weeks or 6 weeks, that's my target. Brilliant advice, Dave. Little and often, regular improvements and those small gain wins every week is a surefire way to motivate yourself, because you're seeing progress. But it doesn't always go smoothly, does it?
No.
One of the other things I like about the short study sessions are, if you miss one, because there will be one you miss. If I'd have missed my run last night, the next one is harder. And something you said, the more you miss, the harder it is to get back going. I wonder if we could just pause and talk about that for a moment. What happens if you're now 2 weeks and you've not done any study? It's very easy, as you said, to make that a third week with no study and a fourth week. And by week five, it now seems impossible to get back into study because I've lost 5 weeks and my motivation is at an all-time low. Any thoughts and advice for a student there, Dave, that's maybe had a couple of weeks, or dare I say a couple of months, without studying? How can they get started again?
I think it's really important not to beat yourself up about things that you've missed. It does remind me of that kind of that phrase of the best time to plant a tree is 50 years ago. The second best time is now. So yes, you've missed something out. Yes, you haven't done it as you maybe should have done, but it's better to start right now, okay, than leave it for any other period of time. I do think it is important, and someone's alluded to this in one of the messages that they've sent us privately. But I think there's two people that can motivate you, that can motivate you in slightly different ways. Okay. And one of them is future you, and one of them is past you. So you in the past can motivate you today. And the way that I would look at this is, can you remember a time, Ben, when you passed an exam? Can you remember a time when you did something that you were immensely proud of? Okay, it may not be passing an exam. It might be getting your personal best in a 5K, you know, when you went running. Can you remember that time? Can you remember how it feels? Can you remember how it felt to have achieved that? Okay, and that's the feeling that you're going to feel again if you achieve passing that exam that you're scheduled to take. So past you can help to get you in the feeling of, yeah, I want that feeling again. That's the feeling that I really, really want to achieve. And I know something we've talked about before is kind of when you get your exam results, building a ritual into it of, if you fail, there are certain things you do. And we're very, very good as tutors at talking to students that have been unsuccessful in exams and suggesting ways that they can be successful in the exam when they take it again. What we're not so good at doing is giving clear advice to students when they pass exams. Because when you pass an exam, you know, we say, oh, go out and celebrate. OK, but what we should be saying is, capture this moment right now. Capture this moment that you're feeling right now. And I know of students who will deliberately, when they get their results, go back to the house and they will play music as loud as they possibly can. And they'll be dancing around the house, singing along to the music, doing whatever they normally do with loud music. But that almost becomes their song to help motivate them when they study. So I listen to that when I pass the exam. I listen to that song again. It reminds me, it triggers those memories, and it tells me this is what I'm aiming for when I pass the exam. So past you has got a role in really motivating present you. The other you that can help motivate you is future you. So I don't know if you ever did this, Ben, but when you were studying, did you have a vision of, what you wanted to be in the future, where you wanted your journey to take you?
Yeah, I think working for the firm I worked with, there were people who were technically above me. They were further on in their studies. There were people that were newly qualified. And I saw the life, the work, the experiences those guys have and thought, actually, that's what I want. Those guys are no longer worried about sitting exams. They've actually got more money because their exam qualification has given them a pay rise and a promotion. And you can very quickly use that as an inspiration, an aspiration for where you want to be.
Oh, absolutely. You might look at someone and say, I want their lifestyle. I want to be earning the money they've got. I want to be able to afford the car that they've got. And to do that, I need to get this qualification because that's what gets me into that role. Some people might have a different motivation, say, I want to make sure that I'm not working in this place in 2 years' time. And in order to be able to get a job that gets me away from the place that I currently am, I need to have this qualification. Some people might do it because they want to have the letters after their name. Some people might do it because of the opportunities it gives them to set up their own business. There may be all kinds of things that people want to achieve, and that achievement only happens through gaining their qualification. So if you know who future you needs to be, and you really want future me, and you really want to be where future me is as quickly as possible, well, that helps you to give the reason why it is that you're actually studying, because you want to be future me. Okay, so if you've got a clear vision of future me, of what you want to achieve, where you want to be, you write that down in the same way you write a study plan down and say, this is what I want to be. I want to be. And I was very clear when I started studying, it was like, I want to be a qualified accountant. Okay. I said at the time, I want to earn the same number of £1,000 as my age. Okay, so I wanted to be earning like by 21, £21,000 or 22, £22,000. Okay, and I started on a very low salary when before the minimum wage was introduced, I think. So, it took a bit of time to get there, but that was an aim that I had that kept me motivated when things were quite difficult. I knew that having the qualification would open doors to me. And I knew that if I wanted to go to a bigger firm, or I wanted to go into industry, or even I wanted to go into teaching, I had to have this qualification to open all those doors. And that's the thing that always kept me motivated to keep studying, to keep attempting the exams, to say no to temptation when it showed itself. So I think knowing what future you looks like is a really good way of motivating present you.
We've mentioned sacrificing things, haven't we? I feel like we're coming full circle now, but I'm just visualizing a lot of students listening to this. We're coming up to a bank holiday weekend this weekend. We've got another bank holiday weekend at the end of May. I've used that today in my class to say, aren't you guys lucky? You've got a 3-day weekend coming up this weekend. So if you can do study on one of those days, you can actually have a full 2-day weekend without any study. But I do appreciate it feels like we are sacrificing things. Maybe we do have to tell our friends occasionally, do you know what? I'm not going to be able to come out tonight because I do need to do some study. A lot of that comes with honest communication, doesn't it? Most people I know would be incredibly supportive. If they are really your friends, if they are really your loved ones, they will want you to succeed. And they will be willing to work with you and support you through some of those sacrifices. I'm not saying write everything off, and I fear what we don't want students doing is losing their friends or alienating themselves from their family. But if you can have those honest conversations, you can explain why I'm not actually going to stay out past 10 o'clock because I need to get up tomorrow morning and do a study session before work or before I go to the gym. Actually, the majority of people you communicate those things with will be really positive and say, oh, great. And they'll probably check in with you. How great would that be if they message you and say, I noticed you left early last night. I hope your study session went well, or I know you're sitting that exam. So good luck with it. I think that's about a bit of honesty, Dave. Do you sit down at home and have those honest conversations as a family?
Yep, we do. And I think that if anyone is sitting there saying, oh, no, you shouldn't study, you should come out all weekend, put your studies on hold, I would ask the question, is that person going to be friends with future you? Now, is future you going to want to sit down with a person that deliberately tried to sabotage your study and cause you not to study? I don't think future you wants to be friends with that person. So, you know, is that in line with the things that you want to achieve? Most people that have got your best interests at heart will recognize what you're trying to do. I think explaining to people how tough accountancy qualifications are, how much work you have to put in, but what you're going to get as a result of it, most people will understand that. There are some people that just won't get it. There are some people who think that I go to work, I work 9 to 5, I do the same job for my entire life, and then I retire. I don't need to do any work outside of it in order to get qualifications, to better myself, to give myself promotion chances and opportunities. They're not going to have the same career as you're going to have. They're going to have the same job year after year after year after year. You're going to have a varied career that improves and gets better every year that you're currently, every year that you're working.
Brilliant. I'm looking at the clock. We're getting close to time. Have you got any final words of wisdom to motivate or help people reflect on a lack of motivation?
Anyone that's listening that has downloaded on the basis that I haven't studied for 6 months, I know I should do something. Hopefully I'm going to get some motivation from listening to this. The reality is that you'll probably listen to this and think, oh, that's nice things to say, but I don't really know what to do right now. If you are in that position, take positive action this minute. So wherever you are, if you're walking your dog, going for a run, if you're driving your car, don't do it. Pull over somewhere before you do it, but take some kind of positive action. Now, that positive action could be that you haven't accessed your online course for 6 months. Try logging in again. Log in again. Okay, make sure that you know the access, and then put a date in your diary for later on this evening. Okay, and say, okay, I'm going to get home at 8 o'clock tonight. So from 8 until 8:30, I'm going to put a study plan together. Okay, and I'm going to make sure that I plan for my studies. I'm not actually going to do any study tonight, okay, because I'm going to plan for it. Tomorrow night, I'm going to do 20 minutes. Okay, 20 minutes, I'm going to review the last chapter that I went through, and I'm going to do 2 questions. Okay, or I'm going to do a series of 5 multiple choice questions. Okay, build that study plan today. So take positive action right now. Because if you don't take positive action right now, then you're going to have listened to this, you'll feel quite good about yourself. In a week's time, you won't have done anything else. So take positive action right now. Okay. As I say, set yourself a diary reminder to come up with a study plan tonight, access your online learning. If you've taken a break since your last exam, you passed it, but it was 9 months ago and you really should get going. Okay. Order the books right now. Okay, or go online, find the course that you want to attend. Email your boss and say, I'm ready to get back on the study wagon again. Can I book the following course? Okay, whatever you need to do to take positive action today to get your studying, do it right now.
Brilliant. We've talked a lot about booking exams, and I am a great believer that actually having a firm date for your exam is one of the best ways to motivate. I've been talking about running, and I've been doing really, really well to motivate myself. That's my personal opinion, but I've been getting out, I've been getting up, I've been going for runs. But I know in another 2 or 3 weeks' time, things will slip because it's life. It will do. And the one thing that I'm going to do at that point is then book myself in for a more formal running event. At the moment, I've been going for jogs. I've done the occasional park run, which is just an informal turn up. But Dave, you've already sent me a link for a running event in September. And if in 3 weeks' time I am flagging and realizing I'm not doing as much running, I'm going to book myself in so I've got a target event to work for. And that's the equivalent of booking your exam. You could go and book an exam for the end of May, the end of June. But at least you've got a date that you are working to. And it's amazing how that actually does give you a sharp focus. Right, I now know I've got 5 weeks. I've now got that date, and I'm going to work and stick to it.
So, Ben, I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you have to wait 3 weeks to see if you're flagging? Why don't you just book that event right now?
Is that Dave saying it because you want to do it and you need a buddy, or is that advice for me to stay motivated?
Well, it's the typical student response of, oh, I'm going to book the exam in 3 weeks' time when I'm ready to book it, instead of just booking it and working towards that target.
100%, Dave. I'm putting it off, aren't I? Because in 3 weeks' time, I'll find another excuse that it'll be another 3 weeks. And then by the time I come to book it, it will be full up and I won't do the event.
Excellent. So we're booking tonight, are we, Ben? You and I, we're both going to book it tonight.
That is being press ganged, isn't it? But I think, Dave, you have just convinced me to go and book this half marathon in London in September. So, yeah, we'll go and get it booked up tonight.
Excellent. I mean, we should check with our families that we're not doing anything that weekend, and in which case we'll have to book a different one. But I think we should commit to an autumn half marathon that you and I both run.
Fabulously. I was thinking back, actually, the last time I'd done as much running as this was when you convinced me to book in for a 10K run that we did. Okay. That has got to be probably 6 years ago now. And since then, it has been a downward spiral. And quite a few of those years, I've done zero running. So yes, having a target to work for is vital, and you're going to hold me accountable.
And everyone that's listening to this live is also going to hold you accountable. And everyone that's listening to this while they themselves are running will also hold you accountable to it, Ben. So there's a lot of accountability there.
Lovely listeners, that is us for time this evening. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Thank you for the guys that have joined us live this evening. Great contributions in the chat box. Please continue to download. Please share the links with colleagues, with friends, with family. If you're saying to somebody at home, this is what I'm doing to study, you might be able to say, and if you want to know a bit more about studying as an accountancy student, why don't you listen to a few episodes of the First Intuition Student podcast? One of the things that came out of our meeting earlier this week to talk about the future schedule was looking at a bit of the data behind the podcast. And so I'm hopeful in future episodes, we can give you a bit of an update on the number of people that have downloaded, where in the world people are listening to this. But for this episode, I'm going to say once again, thank you very much. Myself and Dave will be back on the next episode of our journey through the First Intuition podcast. Mm-hmm.